Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Over the weekend, we went to Hutsy's place to celebrate his birthday.
Yeah, my beach pad.
Yeah, down in Pambula. Great place. It was a great view. There were kangaroos, delicious
everywhere. Food. Yep.
We were having fun. This is on Saturday night, right up until the point someone said, let's play a game.
It wasn't Jigsaw.
No, it wasn't
that kind of a game.
And you pulled out a Blockbuster board game named after the Blockbuster video store. It's a movie trivia game, and it's so strongly themed towards Blockbuster that it comes in like a VHS cassette
case. I know, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Now, the problem was you haven't opened this yet.
Nope.
So you've got, and this is, so Hutsy's come out after enjoying a couple of beverages to celebrate his birthday. And he's just chucked it on the table and gone, all right, someone read the instructions for that.
I wipe my hands every
time. I hate it when
that
happens.
I'm like, I can't be trusted.
I'm like, I have to go to the toilet. I'm not doing that. I always end up being the sucker that has to read the instructions. But this time we managed to handball it to someone else. Poor Liam got stuck with instruction duties. Because it's the worst when you're at a party and you're doing it. Because you first have to try and understand the instructions.
Yep.
And then it's like trying to teach a classroom full of drunken children.
It's true.
What the rules are. And they forget them. So you've got to go through it about three or four times.
Do the same thing at school. Every time I'd be like, all right, line up. We're doing this drill or whatever. And I just go, all right, walk to the back. Yeah, someone else can I'll watch someone else mess it up and get yelled at before I work out exactly what we've got to do.
I think this is why the instructions disappear from a lot of board games, because people pull them out at parties and then they just go, oh, stuff this. They throw it away and just make up the rules as they go along.
Yeah, I've had board games. I've played against my cousins who are identical twins. They're obviously joined at the hip. I've played them in Monopoly at times.
They can join twins.
Just about. I've played them Monopoly sometimes and they'll go past and it's like, oh, you don't have to worry about paying me. When they're on the property, it's like, no, that's not how the game works. It's like, you have to pay. You can't be like, no, don't worry about it. Like,
I wouldn't want to play any game with twins where there's guessing involved. I just feel like they were sending psychic messages to each other.
These
or something.
Two, they are.
But yeah, this Blockbuster movie trivia game, it was all good. We ran through the instructions. And then once play commenced, I witnessed a level of cheating that I have never seen before. Even last night on the maths finale when Beck revealed she'd been cheating on Jake.
Who was that?
That's my brother. I don't kiss my brother like that.
No, I bet you don't. Even that was not as bad of an incident of cheating as what I witnessed on Saturday night.
What was it then?
Well, in this game, you kind of either had to act out a scene from the movie or describe the movie in one word or use a quote from a movie, right?
Sounds easy enough. But
and I was on the gun team. So we were doing pretty well. And your team got to the point where it was like you were just cheating blatantly. You were it was like going to a swim meet with Russians and just watching them injecting at the side of the pool.
It's true. We were struggling. We were like Milhouse's dad when they were playing charades. Just throwing the circle, then yelling out, pointing with the pen. We were kind of like that.
Like at one point, the movie was Lawrence of Arabia. And one of the people at the party just decided to do a quote from the movie, and the quote was, "Hi, I'm Lawrence. I'm from Arabia." And even then, you guys couldn't guess what it was.
I was yelling out more details.
What district of Arabia are you from, Lawrence? Tell us more.
I was yelling out Goonies because that was Chunk's name was Lawrence in Goonies. So I'm thinking straight away Goonies or Lawrence.
It was, and you were useless. Like when you weren't yelling out Goonies, you were yelling out Debbie Does Dallas. That was your answer.
That was my
to all the questions. So it just got to the point where you're like, all right, just let him have a free kick on this one. So, it was a lot of cheating going on Saturday night, and I feel like just like the store it's named after, we'll probably never see Blockbuster again at party night.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Dinner time now compared to when you were a kid. Yeah. I wish it was dinner time now, but what did that look like for you growing up?
When Mum and Dad were together, we had a set time. It was like 6 o'clock in the dining area. No TV. It was sit at the table.
Jeez, must have been fun at your house.
Yeah, we had all the table rules. You had to say please and thank you and ask to be excused, all that. But once Mum and Dad split up, All the rules went out the window.
That's right.
Up was down, black was white, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. I was eating cornflakes for dinner at like 9 o'clock at night, you know.
Oh, cha-ching.
This was my life as a teenager.
It's like you make it sound good, but was that a cry for help, eating cornflakes at
night?
Kind of,
yeah. So dinner time, yeah, wasn't a thing once I was just living with mum, but, you know, she did her best.
What about now? Because obviously we're in breakfast radio. We're on a different sort of a clock to other people when it comes to dinner. What's dinner time now for you? Roughly.
I try to eat like around 5 or 6 o'clock at night. You've got to give your time, body time to digest, Hutsy.
Yes, being in breakfast radio land, I suppose for us a late dinner would be like 7:30. It's like, whoa, you might as well make it midnight.
Yeah.
That's a late one. And I sort of copped a bit of that when on Friday night, partner Rachel was like, I've got to take you somewhere for your birthday. I'm like, all right, let's try Fat Tony's at Tathra. Absolutely brilliant, that place. I recommend going there if you haven't been there. Great staff, great everything. But as soon as I mentioned what time we booked in for, I was like, oh, yeah, 5:45. She's like, huh? And I'm like, what, is there something wrong? It's 5:45.
Yeah.
She looked at me like, it's like, geez, I've barely finished breakfast at 5:45. What's this? And I'm like, but we're on a different time sphere to other people.
Yeah, definitely. Hmm. It threw us off when we went over to Europe a couple of years back for the first time. And over there, they have, like, really late dinners. They dinner at, like, 9 o'clock at night.
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
It's twilight. So,
you know, it's after 8:30 that everyone sits down for dinner. You're like, what the hell is this?
Jeez, I'll be ready for bed at that time.
Yeah. So you have to, like, you know, prop something up under your chin so you don't get smothered falling asleep in your mashed potatoes.
I suppose it's, like, bad form to leave the table as well, like, in Europe as well until everyone's finished. So you can't even have a nap at the table or even leave to do something else. But it got me thinking of when we were growing up, like, certain families and things. For me, it was pretty loose. Like, obviously, for you, it was a little bit strict. Then it became loose about what time dinner is. But my grandparents were always, like, at a certain time, it had to be, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. It was all, you know, regimented. So much so. Like, you'd stay at their house and you'd go down the park for a few hours and she'd go, all right. And then all of a sudden they'd get that, like, backhanded, like, half threat from grandma or grandpa. I'd be like...
She wouldn't actually backhand you,
no,
would she, grandma? Oh,
she,
good.
She wasn't that quick. I've had good dodging skills. But it was like, dinner's on the table at 6. And the way they'd say it was like...
Be
it's
there
law.
Or else.
Yeah, or yeah. else. Dinner's on the
Your
table
dinner goes
six.
To the dogs if you're exactly. not seated and ready to go at 6.
So I want to know, what time was dinner on the table when you're growing up? Was it regimented? Like, you know, it had to be a certain time. If you didn't turn up at that time, that's it. You were basically, you know, grounded for a week or two or...
Yeah.
How did
you didn't
work?
Show up. Your parents would follow through with the threat to mail your dinner to the kids in Africa.
Yeah,
that's what my parents always did. Aussie and Surf Beach, thanks for calling in, mate. What time was dinner at your house growing up?
Oh, 6 o'clock every Sunday night.
Well, you get fed once a week, did you?
Yeah. Good
day. Oh, that was on Sunday night. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Sunday night dinner was, but then it turned out to be just every night of the week at 6 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever make the mistake of missing one of those appointments, Aussie?
Oh, I got home at about 6:15 and I wasn't really thinking about it. And then all of a sudden I look down and there's me dinner and I'm thinking, oh, no.
No one waited for you?
Yeah. Mum sat there and she said, you're not moving till you eat all of this and I'm not heating it up.
Oh, okay. Cold dinner for Aussie.
Well played, Mum.
Yep. And then of a Sunday night, every Sunday night we had to have freaking silver sides.
Yeah.
And when that stuff goes cold, it's like eating a rubber boot.
Yeah, my grandparents were obsessed with silver side as well. I think like it's an older generation thing. I haven't had it since my grandparents were alive, I reckon.
Yeah, I seriously, after having it for so long, I wanted to move out of home on a Sunday and then move back.
The day after.
I walk around the butcher shops now, I see silver side, I start shaking and sweating.
Start quivering.
Yeah, PTSD from boiled meat.
I can't be in there anymore. I'm out of there.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for calling us, Aussie. Appreciate it, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
So many tests in life when you're growing up of moral fibre. You get yourself put in situations where it's like the angel pops up and the devil on the other shoulder is like telling you to do the wrong thing.
Yeah. I was a pretty good kid. I didn't. You know, I was taught right from wrong from an early age. So, but there were kids that I was friends with who needed, I don't know, some moral Metamucil to help boost their moral fiber intake, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And over in the UK, an 11-year-old boy by the name of Jack Greenhalgh So he was out with his mother doing a bit of shopping. And then as kids do, young age, you like to, you know, just touch everything. You like to, all right, don't touch that. Touch whatever. It's what kids do.
You get bored.
You do get bored. You got to keep yourself amused. And, well, he found himself fiddling around with an ATM machine.
All right.
Of course. And while having a bit of fun, just tapping a couple of buttons, all of a sudden, to his surprise, money started coming out.
So he wasn't trying to steal the money like John Connor in Terminator 2, just going,
come on, yes, easy money. Come on.
We all dreamed of doing that as a teenager.
I still dream of doing that.
So he just randomly pressed buttons.
Just pushing buttons
on there. Some sort of magic code for the ATM.
Maybe, yeah.
And if you press the buttons in the right order, it spits out money. Is this... That's what it starts paying off like a pokey machine?
That's what it looks like, because obviously you put in certain numbers after you put your card in, it comes out of your bank. But obviously something happened when the last person used this machine. He's pushing buttons and all of a sudden it's spitting out money, and not just like $20, it's spat out $700.
Which is a lot of money when you're just a little kid.
What do you do though? What would you do if it spat out that much money? Would you be like, hopefully mum isn't watching, would you pocket it? Or would you say, mum, look what's just happened. What do I do? What do we do?
Well, if it was me, like, back in the 80s when I was a kid, I would have been straight down to our corner store, just plonk the money on the counter going, give me $700 worth of lollies now. We don't have that much. Make it happen. I've got my, I'll just make it rain cash and just go, give me all the freckles and muscle sticks you got.
So as it turns out, it was obviously an error for the previous person that had used it. So obviously he's telling his mum about this, like, mum, look at this. And she's like, all right, we need to do the right thing now, Jack. So it was right near the supermarket. So they went, obviously contacted some people to try and trace down exactly who the owner of the money was. And once the local supermarket heard about it, they actually gave him a $17 gift card for his honesty.
$17?
Yep.
Are you serious? It was $700. That's not even 10%.
Yep.
You'd think you'd at least give him like $70.
Yeah.
For being, because all that does is go like, well, I won't be honest in the future. That didn't really work out for me, did it, being honest? I got like a $17 gift card from a trouble.
Even when you play Monopoly, you get $200 if there's a bank error.
That's so right,
this kid's been shafted. But hang on a sec. It's like, give it a little while. Obviously, this story went viral. The mum was talking about it online. People, within 24 hours, had set up a fundraising page, like a GoFundMe for Jack.
Oh, okay. So how much did that end up raking in?
Well, in just 24 hours, it raised over $800.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, we're back, baby.
Right.
Then mum comes in again
and
is like, requested that the fundraising stop and that all money be refunded.
Why?
I know, this poor kid. It's an emotional roller coaster. It's like up, down, up, down, up, down.
Can't catch a break.
So, I don't know. Was she trying to teach him that honesty is the best policy or something like that? You know, this poor kid, you got to think.
What is she like when Santa comes down the chimney at Christmas? Like, no, he doesn't want any presents.
This year.
You can go now.
Nick, just one gift for old Jack.
What's wrong with
his mum? Yeah, 1 minute he's gone from all of a sudden he's standing there, he's hearing these beeping noises and it's just raining cash.
Yeah.
The next minute he finds out he's got to give the money back and he's the one doing twice as much beeping, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.